For business on the go, visit www.moneyfmzambia.com to watch, stream, and download various programs from anywhere in the world.
Welcome to another week of Money FM, and specifically The Curve and Brandon. And we have John Mwanze in studio with us today, and we are talking about brand archetypes. How you doing, John?
Yes, sir. I'm good, thank you. Good to be here. Good to be here. What an exciting topic. This is a particularly exciting one because I think it's one that is overlooked quite a lot of times.
Yes, yeah.
People talk about, there's a brand manual, there's a visual identity, but a brand archetype really just sort of, governs and directs the direction, not just of your branding, but of your corporate strategy. It's a good place where the advertisers, the communication, the visual stuff meet the business objectives. It's pretty cool.
And I like the idea of how you actually creating the personality for your brand, for your business.
Yes.
Because I think a lot of mistakes that Zambian businessmen, and businessmen around the world actually, a lot of mistakes that they make is they make it about them. They treat the business like it's them.
As an extension of their personality. And there's a real danger with that.
Yes, very big danger. There's also them treating it like their own bank account and it's their own little thing that they keep in their pocket.
Yes.
But you're keeping your company prisoner.
No, that's true. Your company has to have its own identity.
Yeah.
And you need to give it autonomy to grow, because a lot of, especially the startups, they tend to jam because they get to a place where, for one reason or the other, the founder, the key driver of the business, somehow is not around. And when he's out of the picture, the whole thing falls
apart.
Chaos,
because he is the company. I learned that very quickly in my organization. Because you're not your agency.
No. I mean, it's interesting. A lot of people call me Mr. Mojo or Mojo. And I think it was purely based on the brand that I had built and the association with me.
Yeah.
But in terms of character, the brand had its own character, and we're very specific in allowing the brand to stand out on its own.
Yeah.
Admittedly, I am going to admit that there were a lot of similarities between the brand's character and my character, actually.
But I suppose that changes as you grow.
It does.
And that's why the brand archetype is very important for your company, because it sets it up that the respect that you should have for your brand and your business, because it's an entity on its own.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the very definition of what a limited liability company is.
That's right.
Is that this is an entity.
Yes.
It's alone.
Outside of this entity, I cannot be pursued in my individual capacity. That's basically what it is. So maybe a good place to start also is just to sort of try and get an understanding. I mean, I think I'm sure there might be a few people out there that are thinking, what is an archetype? What does that mean? We generally have 12 brand archetypes. An archetype basically is a defining personality that your brand or your company is going to have.
Yes.
When you sit down to say, I'm going to start a company and it's going to do 1, 2, and 3 things, you generally have a view of what you want to achieve and what you want to get out of it. And I think when you start to try and define your brand archetype, it is going to be driven by far and wide by the purpose of the business. A lot of businesses are driven by the need to create revenue to make money.
Yeah.
I think any business wants to make money, obviously. Yeah. But over and above that, there has to be a prevailing passion, whether it is that you're trying to make the world a better place, or you're trying to help underprivileged people, or that you're trying to provide a solution. There's always a guiding principle for why that business is set up.
Yeah.
And that's basically where you start to see the differences in the brand's personality. But sadly, a lot of times, this is misinterpreted. Because an insurance company, for example, while they want to make money, the whole purpose of the business is that you can provide people not with money when they claim, that's the end product, what you're actually giving to people, what you're actually selling as an insurance business.
Safety.
Peace of mind.
Yeah.
Peace of mind, 100%. Yeah, yeah. You know, it's a safety net, knowing that should anything happen, I am covered.
Yeah.
And I like the word covered. You know,
covered,
people talk about insurance cover. You know what I mean? It's because it's like, you're literally covered in a blanket of warmth.
That's
and
exactly,
you've got a peace of mind.
I can imagine my son lying up against a pillow with a blanket around his chin.
That's right.
His chin. Yes,
exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. And so when you look at that, then you look at some insurance companies and how they communicate.
Mm.
And naturally, when you talk about cover, when you are covered, you are kept in a warm place out of the cold. Naturally, you're starting to think that your visual look and feel is going to be the warm colors. It's going to be the reassuring colors.
Yeah.
And then some agencies are going to go with bright red and bright orange and bright super. Do you know what I'm trying to say? So, so again, that's a malalignment from the very fundamental place of what we're trying to do.
And
so that's where we start to sort of ask ourselves to say, does your brand actually align with your purpose?
And I think that's exactly what starting with the archetype is. It's paying your brand the respect it deserves.
100%.
It's starting out and you're saying, okay, if my brand was the regular guy, you know, and we'll go through the 12 now. And I'm really excited about that because remember last week I told you that when I started looking at this branding stuff, it was just like, wow, these guys are nuts, man.
Yeah.
And then you actually read and you're like, wow, that's what my company is.
Exactly.
So that's it exactly. And, so if you say that your brand is this type of archetype, then it'll, as you said, it'll start working into the colors. It'll start working into the brand, the tone of voice, which a lot of people get wrong, especially now with social media
100%.
Out there. And the easier way it is to communicate one-on-one with your clients.
Yes.
We're going to cover social media in the show quite a bit.
Yeah.
Quite a bit.
Yeah.
Not in this show, but in the coming weeks, we're going to cover that. So in a sentence, what is a brand archetype to you?
It's your personality. It's your personality. The personality of the brand is where the business objectives meet with the purpose of the business.
Mm.
You know, and they're two different things. Business objectives are obviously to be sustainable, but then the purpose is to provide. So for example, I like the insurance example.
Yeah, yeah.
Because your business objective is to be sustainable, to be able to pay staff and to be able to generate a profit.
Yeah.
Those are the objectives. But the purpose is to actually supply your customers with peace of mind, knowing that they're covered.
Exactly,
so that's based when you put those two together, where they meet, that's your brand archetype.
Yeah.
That's your personality. It measures the two. So if you look at, if we just have a quick overview.
Yeah.
So the 12 brand archetypes, there's the innocent.
Yeah.
The innocent basically has the main goal of that personality is to be happy.
Yeah.
And then you've got the regular guy and their whole, the personality there is strives. The goal is to belong. To connect with others.
Yeah.
And we're going to start talking to these in more details. Then there's the hero, naturally. The hero who saves the day.
I want to save the world.
100%. 100%. There's the outlaw, you know.
Yeah.
I don't care about the rules. I break rules. I change things.
We're going to push through, yeah.
Exactly. There's the explorer. There's the creator. There's the ruler. There's the magician. There's the lover. There's the caregiver. There's the gesture. And the sage.
Yeah.
So maybe let's start with the first one, which is the innocent.
Yeah, yeah.
Naturally, you know, this is where you've got a brand that strives to be good, that is pure, that is young, that is optimistic, that is almost romantic and loyal.
Yeah.
So naturally, in this particular circumstances, you look at this, the innocent, and you would think of a brand. In my mind, the first thing that comes to my mind is cooking oil.
Yeah.
So there's a very interesting psychological dynamic with marketing cooking oil. And I had the pleasure of working on a campaign and I learned something completely new.
Yeah.
So with cooking oil, you know, there's a growing concern that we should not be taking as much oils in our body.
No. Yeah.
And there's a whole concern. People now are
olive
trying
oil versus cooking 100%, oil.
100%. And people are going to the gym now. They're trying to lose weight and stuff like that. So oil, suddenly, is in trouble here in, it's just not in terms innocent. Of perception. It's not innocent anymore. Yeah. But the brands that are selling cooking oil are trying. So if you look at the way the branding has evolved,
yeah.
cooking oil is always going to be in a translucent packaging yeah. so that you see through it. And the, yeah. the perception there is that if it's seen as sort of almost gold and pure,
clarity,
it sends yeah. that to you. And then the branding, it's always very simple.
Yeah.
So next time in a supermarket, look at the cooking oil brands. They have deliberately made the branding small and yeah. to have as little information as possible. That basically gives you an impression, well, they're simple. It's not complicated. There's not much to it. And
yeah,
so therefore you are
exactly.
reassured.
Yeah. And then a lot of them have got red coloring in the logos.
Yes. So the red there, you think they're trying to, it's initially it was a danger. I'm not going to mention the brand,
yeah.
but it was a very risky move, but a bold one because again, high cholesterol is blood related. So yes. the color red then signifies that. But yeah. then they have intentionally put the red in there to make you see that this is actually friendly to
yeah.
your body.
Exactly.
You know, your yeah. red your the red blood that flows through your body. So yeah. by making that connection, there are others that have gone the route of using
green.
The green,
yeah.
and that's because of the sunflower.
Yeah.
And naturally, we know that what's from the earth is yeah, of
yellow,
is natural, and precisely, you know. And so it's very interesting how a brand can start off with one thing. Because yeah. imagine, not so long ago, before we got all obsessed about losing weight and things like that, a cooking oil brand could have just as easily had a black logo on there. The whole thing was it was wholesome. It's food, you know.
Exactly.
So that has evolved, and so the drawback. The drawback with the innocent brand archetype is that you can very easily be seen as a boring brand, as a brand that's not with the times,
exactly,
as a brand that is a bit too simple. 93.7
FM. Another brand that you can look, or another product that you can look that's very much in this, and I've seen a couple of them, is margarine.
Yes.
I detest this stuff.
I can't.
If you put margarine in front of me, I will not eat it. That's one of the things.
Yeah.
It's one of the foods that I will not eat.
Yeah.
But if you look at a lot of the adverts that are going around, like healthy and there's hearts on it. The Cancer Society and
endorses this. Yeah, 100%. But then so is Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola, we just mentioned, we talked about that
last week.
So Coca-Cola is one of those. I mean, what is the big issue there? The big issue there is sugar.
Sugar.
Everybody's worried about, you know, high sugar levels and diabetes and stuff like that. So they have to adopt this personality that comes across like, no, guys, we're not the bad guys.
No.
Enjoy every moment. You know, those are the slogans. You know what I mean? Leave a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
But it's very interesting that I've seen in the past sort of 5 to 6 years a change in their approach.
The ads
are focusing on the younger demographic.
Yeah.
Every Coca-Cola billboard, if you look at it in this country now, has a young face on it. And they've deliberately repurposed and focused on that particular group because at anywhere from 16 to maybe when you're about 25 or 30, you're not thinking about diabetes.
No.
You're not thinking about the sugar intake.
It's only when you get it that you start to.
Well, precisely. Yeah. So there's no point in putting an elderly gentleman there sipping a Coke. That's some of the dynamics.
Say that the innocent has got values. It's virtuous.
Yes.
You know. Yes. It's honest. It's reliable.
That's right.
It has strong values.
Yes.
Yeah. So
and the communication is generally very, very simple.
Yeah.
And they keep it very, very basic.
Yeah. So let's move on to the next archetype. The regular guy.
The regular guy or girl. Yeah. Yes. So the regular guy or girl, this is a brand that's pretty much, the personality is pretty much sort of neither here nor there.
Yeah.
They're trying to just sort of basically fit in, to belong.
Speak to as many people as possible.
Precisely, yeah. So we're trying to be this thing that everybody understands.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
And so
we are going to do anything and everything that the masses can relate to.
Yeah.
You know, it's an interesting approach as well in terms of the personality. They tend to generally have a very down-to-earth, very interpersonal sort of approach to their brand, and because the whole thing is connecting with people.
Yeah.
So from from the back of my mind, I am actually thinking of the telcos.
Exactly. We're your guy. We're your shamwali.
We are everywhere you go. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
you belong to our network.
Yeah, you're one of us.
Because you're one of us and you're with us.
I see that, yeah.
And so an interesting thing starts to come out with the regular guy. Yeah. The regular guy, the communication and marketing is usually you're never going to see one person in any of the billboards.
No.
Because the whole thing is connecting people. So you're going to have groups of people or people talking or somebody on the phone. It reminds me of one of the most brilliant ads I've ever seen, actually. And it's probably just because of an emotional point of view, being a parent, you know. But I saw this ad and it was in South Africa. And there was this guy who was, a security guard at night. Mm. You know, working in a lonely little security office at the gate of a building.
I think I've seen this one.
Yeah, and he's just singing this typical Swana lullaby.
Yeah,
and he's walking around, you know, and singing, and he's very gentle and loving. And so this whole time, you're thinking, what is going on here? Yeah. Until he finishes his song, and then he says, "Good night, my baby." Yeah. And then you cut the ad cut to the little girl at home, and she's on the phone, and he was singing, and also the cultural aspects of the fact that it's not a very masculine thing in African culture for a dad to be singing to his little girl. So there were a lot of things that they were able to get, and it was very emotionally potent ad.
I can see that, and the simplicity of it as well, because you've got. It's a very simple ad. It's just a guy singing a lullaby to his daughter.
That's right.
But there's so much connotations that they've put into there.
Yes.
Like the guy in the security guard. He's got
first of all, he's a security guard.
He's
a below regular guy.
Yeah.
He can afford to literally pick up the phone and sing until his daughter falls asleep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's also just the simplicity of it as well and the manly thing. And
that's
then
right.
the song that he's singing as well.
Yes.
Tying that to the local community.
Precisely.
Yeah, very
and again,
good.
That's a typical regular guy brand archetype thing because you're saying this, we know you know this song. Every single one of you guys watching this will identify this song.
Yeah.
Because and this would have been sung to you by your grandmother, by your parents. Exactly.
Amazing,
so all of a sudden you've got this very potent message that is wrapped around a strong emotion.
It's adverts like that I'd love to shake the hands of.
Yes, the creators.
So now we move on to the next one.
That's right, the hero.
Which is the hero.
The hero.
So I think this is the go-to brand for every entrepreneur I've ever spoken to, including myself.
Yes.
Because it's like, what's the goal of an entrepreneur? To fix something, to
solve
see
a problem.
Something that's broken and to fix that and to have a better thing and to improve the world.
Yes.
So...
But there is a disconnect there, Jason.
Yeah.
Because, you see, the outlook of the entrepreneur should not become the outlook of the business.
No.
As an entrepreneur, you know you're trying to solve a problem.
Yes, exactly.
But depending on what problem you're trying to solve, you need to adopt the personality specific to that problem.
Yeah.
So I'll give you, in my view, one would think, for example, let's take Tesla. You know, and what what's
Elon
his name?
Musk.
Yeah. Elon Musk. You know, so he's building these electric cars.
Yeah.
You know, and the whole solution there is, and it is a big problem. I mean, oil and all these wars we've seen in Afghanistan, and it's all around oil.
Yeah.
Fuel is expensive. So he's trying to solve a problem. He's saying, let me help the humankind, you know, evolve to a better way, a more sustainable.
Tesla being the hero. Yeah.
Tesla being the hero. You would think that, right?
Yeah.
But actually, he's an innovator. He's actually an outlaw, which is another brand archetype we're going to talk about because he's defined the rules.
Yeah.
You see, but he as an individual, he's a hero and he's seen as a hero. We see him as a hero, you know.
Yeah.
We see Richard Branson as a hero.
As
he's a pioneer.
But
actually the brand is separate.
Yeah.
The brand is separate. So for me, when you talk about the hero, a company that comes to mind is organizations, NGOs.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's NGOs. So it's like your UNICEF, it's like your USAID.
Yeah.
And also, you know,
WWF, Worldwide.
WWF, 100%.
Wildlife Federation.
Fund, yeah. Exactly.
Fund, yeah.
Fund or Federation, I say.
It's fund because Federation is the old one, you know, the
rest
thing.
That's right, yes. And so you start to see the traits that are displayed.
Yeah.
With a lot of these NGOs. Yeah. So they're courageous, they're bold, they're honorable, you know, they're strong, confidence, inspirational. Yeah. And when we start talking about courageous and bold, it's because these NGOs are the first to go into a war zone.
Yeah. And they're fighting against the status quo of that war zone.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's very interesting, however, that we've been able to see other entities like BMW try and take this on, like Nike. But even with that, it's got a very interesting dynamic. So on the one side, you generally have your sort of NGO type companies, but on the other side, you've got organizations. I think Nike is a very good example because you've got a person that you admire, Usain Bolt.
And he's
your hero.
Yeah.
And he's wearing Nike.
Yeah.
They are making heroes.
Yeah.
You see what I'm trying to say? So that becomes a very interesting brand archetype there in terms of how you position yourself. So naturally with Nike, you're gonna see Serena Williams wearing them and
Tiger
their
Woods.
Ads. Exactly. Yeah. So it's a very interesting dynamic because I wouldn't say that they're positioning themselves as a hero, but they're aligning themselves as a hero.
But I could see that an error or a potential downfall here is that they can be seen as like arrogant. They can be seen as aloof.
Yes.
You know, they can be seen like they're in the background and they're looking at you. They're better than you. You're not part of our club.
That's right.
Because if you think about even school, when you and I were in school and a guy had a pair of Nikes, you know, he was like, wow, I was a Reebok guy.
Yes.
You know, and
I was an Adidas guy actually.
Okay,
when I was
there
school.
We go.
And you see, it's very interesting. So for me, I wouldn't actually say the likes of BMW and Nike are heroes.
No.
I mean, in my view, I think they aligned with heroes.
Yeah.
And they're using that. Because if you look at the slogans, for example, I think the slogans themselves, a company or brand slogan really tells you what the character is.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, for example, a slogan of, you know, making a better world, it's completely different from just do it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
You know, and therein lies the differentiation.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. God, this is very interesting stuff. I'm looking forward
and
to touching
you know
up on
I'm
this.
I'm just looking at the time right now, and it's so much content that what we're going to do is we're going to pick up this conversation next week as well when you're in studio.
I look forward to it,
I'm really excited about this. You can see that I hope that by what you're seeing John and I talk about right now, that there is a lot more effort that you need to put into your branding, and that the branding effort will repay itself because
100%.
You owe it to your brand, you owe it to your company to really polish his identity or her identity.
Yes.
So thanks, John. We will see
Not
you
a problem.
Next week. Yeah.
We will brand you next week.
Brand you next week.